from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Well, we understand it. It's a little Earth, Wind, and Fire to get you started. And, of course, Earth, Wind, and Fire, as we always say, really good for the soul. It is good for the soul. And we like to give you a little soul food, especially you're getting ready for a long weekend. Hopefully, all of you have Labor Day off. Of course, I will be here doing the morning show, and Joe will be here doing this show on Labor Day.
And I will be here with Joe.
Okay. So, won't be quite as long of a weekend, although I do appreciate the fact that the boss is allowing me to do the morning show so I can be done by 10 and still have some of Labor Day to, go hit the golf ball or do whatever, right?
Cook out.
Yes, whatever. There's that, of course, as we know, when we start with Earth, Wind, and Fire, it means that I'm solo today. And Joe is, you're going to be shocked by this, but golfing somewhere.
You know, Paul, I'm stunned.
It never, ever, ever, ever is a bad day when you're out on the golf course, right? Joe and I yesterday, thank you to Lanny Fratteri and Ryan Recker. They beat us.
Did they?
They beat us in the match. They beat us. They smoked us on the front. We beat them on the back. They beat us overall, so... They beat Lanny and Ryan beat us. We played really well the last five holes, though, to come from behind and at least win the back nine. Right?
Well, at least there's something. Is Lanny that good of a golfer?
Yeah, you know what? I'd say what I like about Lanny. His game is very controlled. As you might imagine, everything you know about him, right?
Everything that you know about him, he is in control.
He's very, very controlled. You know, he doesn't, I mean, obviously he's older now. He doesn't hit it that far. But I tell you, I mean, I think there's four par threes, so there's 14 fairways to hit. I bet you he hit 13 of them. I can only think of one of his tee shots that didn't hit the fairway. Like, he hits it right in the middle every single time. Just a nice, easy, controlled swing, you know? And then, Ryan Recker's a really good golfer. So we had our work cut out for him, but we did not perform above the line. I actually started off really well, and then there was a long stretch of holes, like six or seven holes in the middle of the round where it was terrible. Joe wasn't very good until the last four holes.
So I'm sure he was taking that very well.
Yeah, he didn't take it very well. But the last four holes, he figured some things out, and then it was tied. The back nine was tied going into the 18th hole. And I actually birdied it to win the back. So that was good. Right?
Lanny called me when I was just about home and said, Austin, why aren't you here doing the play-by-play? I thought you were supposed to be here.
Yes.
I had a volleyball game. I got a text of probably about this time yesterday. Can you work the game tonight at 6 o'clock, 6:30, 7:15, whatever? All right. And that's why I was not there. I wanted to go, and then I also forgot until this morning or yesterday morning that it was going on.
He was basically saying that you could have rode around and given us the play-by-play.
Next time you golf with him, I'm sure this will not be the last time.
Yeah, It really is. It's going to be. We have to have a rematch now because we lost. So we're gonna find another track to go play against them on, and we'll have a good time. Nevertheless, we've got a big show. By the way, Everybody Loves Raymond has been bumped up to 10:35.
Good to know.
Yeah, because we have Mike Casazza from, he covers the Mountaineers. Who would have thought the biggest game of the week would involve the Mountaineers? And I'm not just talking about locally. I'm talking about, could you make a case that this is the biggest game of the weekend?
I think you can.
I mean, is Georgia playing Clemson?
Yeah, I'm going to pull up the slate.
I think Georgia.
Very early. To use a Paul pause here, but you know what, Paul? I think we're going to drop one.
I'm just saying when you pull it up, Texas, Michigan.
Yeah, Georgia, Clemson's the biggest one.
And Texas, Michigan is pretty big, too.
Oh, it's huge.
Wait, that's next weekend.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't see that this week.
That's next week.
Texas is playing Colorado State.
Yeah, Clemson, Georgia's big, but
best primetime game? Notre Dame, Texas A&M.
How about the battle for Ohio? Ohio State, Akron.
That'll be a competitive one.
Oh, yeah, Notre Dame, Texas A&M. I see that now.
I've gone to an Akron, Ohio State game before.
Really?
It was like 73-10, something like that. Only time I've ever been to Ohio State.
The battle for Ohio. I love my favorite stat from the Ohio State people is Ohio State is, I think they've never lost a game to another team from Ohio. And I'm like,
that would make sense.
I'm like, okay, let's really rewind this a little bit. Sounds like an incredible thing.
But what about like 1912?
Bowling Green, Toledo,
Akron,
Kent,
Cincinnati.
Akron. And Cincinnati, who they apparently will not play. They played them twice.
University of Ohio.
Ohio U.
Or Ohio U, yeah.
Ohio U. So my point is, you should beat all those teams every time. Although Pitt doesn't beat all those teams every time.
No, remember when they lost to Youngstown State?
But if you're Ohio State, and Youngstown State too. If you're Ohio State though, you should win all those games. So anyway, where we're going to start? Oh, I'm sorry.
So we got Ray at 10:30.
I'm sorry. Here we go. They're 48-0-1. Versus teams from Ohio at home.
Oh, at home?
Yes. Their record overall is really not all that impressive. They're 194-50-1 against 28 Ohio teams they've played in football. But they have won 45 in a row, which means they lost some games, way back in the day.
Yeah, on the road.
You know, whenever they played. Yes, exactly. But, the big news yesterday, I don't know when did it break, maybe last night, last evening, when Brandon Ayuk, when it was finally announced that he was actually staying in San Francisco and would not be obviously coming to the Pirates. I'm sorry, the Steelers. I was just looking at a picture of O'Neal Cruz. The Steelers. And I think when you boil this down, there's no other way to say, well, first of all, you have to say to yourself, do we believe all of the reporting that the Steelers were on some level involved in trying to get Brandon Ayuk? Do you believe that on some level they were trying to get Brandon Ayuk?
Yes, I don't think there's any doubt. They put their eggs all into the Ayuk basket, and they completely failed. The Easter Bunny gave them coal like it was Christmas morning.
Right. So if you subscribed to the theory that they were trying to get Brandon Ayuk, which I know that Jerry Dulac and a couple of the people,
yeah, Jerry Dulac said they were never knew they were not going to get Brandon Ayuk.
Exactly.
I don't believe that for
a
second.
Do you,
Paul?
That's like, just nonsensical spin. That's nonsensical spin, and, it is what it is. I get it, and, I've I've been that reporter that was, you know, that would every so often, you know, put something out there that the team wanted that I knew was just complete nonsense because, you know, they were trying to spin something one way or the other. But here's my point. I don't believe for one second that they were not involved at any level. And I don't believe for one second that they thought or didn't think that it's just one of those things that it's going to have to be a situation where we, you know, you have to turn off your brain if you think that they weren't involved. Period. And since they were involved, I have to go with your theory at City Limits. I have to go with your theory. And that is, it's going to be one of those things where I feel like the Steelers did a terrible job here. They did a terrible job here. And, you know, at the end of the day, they did a terrible job from the standpoint of if you look at what their receiver position is, it's not ready. It's not ready for prime time. And so from the time they traded Deontay Johnson till now, what was the plan? What was the plan? You can't tell me that Van Jefferson and Calvin Austin and all these other people, you can't tell me that that's, you know, that's not the plan. Or that's what they really had planned on doing. So they did a really bad job here.
Their plan, at least to me, was get Deontay Johnson out of the building and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
And I think we kind of saw that they were impatient with Deontay Johnson. We all agree, Paul, that getting Deontay Johnson off the Steelers, away from George Pickens, is the best thing to do, was the best thing to do for the team. Now, the timing of it, especially because they knew they were going to get a big name, they were going to try to get a big name wide receiver, is what I think partially screwed this thing up. Because if Brandon Ayuk was holding out the way that he was the whole entire year like this, whatever, that the situation played out the same way, but the Steelers had Deontay Johnson, this deal is done. And I'm not trying to excuse it and make it 2020 vision now, but the Steelers were so impatient to get rid of Deontay Johnson and then so patient to wait on Brandon Ayuk when he could have been the signature piece in that deal. Did the Steelers know that at the time? I don't know. I'd like to think maybe there was a little bit of an inkling, but they traded Deontay Johnson for a corner who was going to get cut. Maybe he's good with the Steelers. We'll see. I just feel like, you know, Omar Khan has handled so many things very well. This is, I think, one of the, not big gaffes, but it's a gasp so far that he's had. Maybe the first or second one that he's had, but the most glaring one as Steelers GM.
I would agree with that. I just feel like this is probably, in many ways, this was probably the first time that I think there's legitimate criticism about something that, you know, Omar Khan and company did. And that's not trying to be, I'm not trying to be overly critical here because he's done a lot of good things. But I got to be honest with you. You can't tell me that your plan legitimately was we're going to go into the season and we're going to basically do it in a way where we have Van Jefferson and Kez Watkins, who I think got cut.
He's gone.
He got cut, right? Scotty Miller, Calvin Austin. You can't tell me that was the plan when they traded Deontay Johnson.
And Calvin Austin, the camp darling of the last 2 years, has done nothing in camp this year. Nothing in the preseason game, and now he's going to be your punt returner too?
I just don't get it, man. I don't.
I mean, the only logical explanation is that they thought so confidently that Brandon Ayuk was going to be a Steeler. That they did not, they thought, well, this is eventually just going to play itself out. We'll be fine. The deal will get done. He does not want to return, and San Francisco doesn't want to pay him. And I think that's what the Steelers banked on. They were that confident that this thing was going to get done and this thing was going to happen that they did not. They felt like they didn't need to pivot. They didn't need to move on to a Jahad Dodson. They didn't need to sign even a Tim Patrick to the practice squad.
Right.
Or, I mean, the report that came out last night that San Francisco would have dealt Ayuk if they could have got Cortland Sutton back for a third-round pick from Denver.
Something like that.
And when Cortland Sutton restructured his contract in Denver a couple months ago, wasn't that the writing on the wall that that type of trade was not going to be made? That deal was restructured to shuffle some money around and kind of answer the questions
I just don't get it, man. There was a lot of different things they could have done during training camp to get a receiver in here.
Their focus was just so linear. It was tunnel vision on Ayuk. And everything that went on in the peripheral,
right?
They just completely blocked it out. And now they're trapped. And they're trapped in a situation where you have one quality wide receiver who has proven it in the NFL. Well, George Pickens hasn't even proven it in the NFL yet through two seasons. This is mainly the prove it year three for him. Van Jefferson, who's just a four. Roman Wilson, who's been hurt and has never played a snap. Calvin Austin, who's your gadget guy, jet sweep, hasn't been able to see him do anything across the middle of the field. And then Scotty Miller, congrats. Anyone else?
Yeah.
Anyone else want to line up and come to the table? The table is very bare. The cupboard is empty. It's a bottom five wide receiver room in all of football, and it's cemented by Ayuk.
I just don't know what to do now. I just don't know what they do now. I mean, it feels like all of the opportunities they had to make their team better, to make their receiver room better. I got to be honest with you, man. It feels to me like they basically,
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Works left. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
They just fumbled here. They fumbled.
A caller just asked, do you think that Ayuk and his agent used the Steelers for leverage in the situation? I'm sure partly that's probably...
I mean, somewhat, but I think part of it was But how much leverage did they get? Because they ended up signing the deal that was on the table 12 weeks ago.
That's crazy. Was it 12 weeks ago or was it August 12th?
Whatever it was.
Whatever it was.
My point is... The
fact that he signed the same deal
right.
that was on the table 3 weeks ago and nothing changed in this period
right.
is just
how much leverage,
time off our lives we can't get back.
How much leverage did he actually get? I'll tell you the other thing. The other thing I'll tell you is that the fact that there were other teams that were involved and he turned down opportunities to be traded there, at some point it went from him having him having a lot of the leverage to him having none. I mean, it's pretty clear that the 49ers said, here's the deal, take it or leave it. And so his leverage was, okay, well, I'm going to skip training camp. It's really what it comes down to. A lot of guys do that. They don't want to go to training camp. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to go to training camp. So, okay, this is my way to get out of it. Well, I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily the best way to do it, is it?
seemed to have worked.
I mean, you know, he got out of training camp, but at what cost now? That's what I'd like to know. I mean, at what cost? But I mean, I don't necessarily think that he was able to use the Steelers I don't know that he was able to use the Steelers all that much, because again, they said to him, here's the offer. And I was just looking at Adam Schefter. Here's your offer. It's the same offer that we've had on the table for at least 3 weeks. So what changed? Well, I'll tell you what changed. The biggest thing that changed is that it's game week coming up. And he was getting ready to forfeit a game check. That's the thing. Now the next thing they got to do is they got to work now on Trent Williams. And I'm sure they're going to play the same game with him. The thing is, they've started fining him every day now. Brandon Ayuk is now 1, 2, 3, 4, the sixth highest paid receiver. That's probably about right, somewhere in that neighborhood. Maybe a little bit. I don't know. I'm just saying he's sixth highest. So all right, let's go to a phone. Go to a phone real quick.
Let's go to Brian in Brookline.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, Paul. In a way, I'm glad that it's over, but I got to ask you an honest question. Why didn't we try to go after T. Higgins? I know we're not going to get Jamar Chase, but Cincinnati has two receivers that they got to get rid of or sign them, and they can't afford to sign them. What was your theory? Why didn't nobody said nothing about T. Higgins? Zero.
Yeah, that's actually a great question. And maybe Cincinnati, maybe they sent some overtures and Cincinnati said it's not going to happen. You know what I mean?
The same way with DK Metcalf. They shot that down immediately early on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. To me, it could have been a situation where they looked into a couple of these guys and were basically told it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I just want to know what your thoughts
was
on that, Paul, with T. Higgins.
Yeah, no, I mean, it'd be a great addition, but I mean, it takes two to tango. All right, who we got next?
We got Danny in the car.
Go ahead, Danny.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Love the show.
Thank you. What's going on today?
Listen, am I hearing you guys right? Do you think if we would have had Deontay Johnson, that we would have got Ayuk? Is that what you guys are saying?
What?
If we would have still had Deontay Johnson, that we could have used him in a trade to get Brandon Ayuk? Is that what City Limits said?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Well, maybe, okay, but the other part of it is... What's that?
Let me ask you something. Do you really think San Francisco, who was in the Super Bowl last year, and I think was the better team, they would actually want Deontay Johnson, somebody who, at best, catches 50% of the balls he's thrown, runs the wrong way when he catches it, takes himself out of first down yardage, 2 years ago had no touchdowns the entire year, has 5 in the last 2 years, and watches a fumble, looks at it, turns around, walks away, and goes to the bench. Do you really think Kyle Shanahan would want that on his team? There's no way they would have took Deontay Johnson.
Well, you don't know that. You don't know that. They wanted a receiver back.
He's not a receiver. He's a joke. Where you think because, you know, he's in San Francisco's system, he's going to what? Get great hands, start running the right way instead of doing the Jim Marshall every time he catches the ball. When it fumbles, he's going to throw his nose in there and go after a fumble. Quits causing fights in the locker room? No. He's Deontay Johnson. No one wants that, Klon.
Okay.
That's why he's where he's at.
Thank you for the call.
I think they would have taken him, yeah.
I do think they would have taken him.
I think they would have taken him.
I think if they'd have had him and they wanted a receiver back, and some of the names I heard that they were, you know, interested in trying to get back in a trade, I think if the Steelers paired Deontay Johnson with a second-round pick, they probably would have been able to get him.
And you're paying Deontay Johnson $18 million. That's $12 million less than Brandon Ayuk is getting this year. He's still a good route runner. A lot of why Deontay Johnson didn't catch any touchdowns, one, was because of him, obviously, yeah. But the quarterback play was also so poor. And the running backwards thing, 100% agree. The fumbling thing, 100% agree. I'm sure San Francisco, though, and Kyle Shanahan would think in their offense with the way that he runs routes, because he is a good football player. He is a good route runner. Yard after the catch, when he's not moving backwards, he's a pretty good football player. And I think San Francisco would try to just get the best out of him and think that they could. I think they'd believe it. Like, I think Kyle Shanahan would.
I think that's the whole point about it. I mean, people don't realize that the Deontay Johnson is not a great player, but he's better than the guys they have right now. He's better than the guys they have besides Pickens. Secondly, I think he would have been enough of a return that we would have done that. You know what I mean? That might have worked for him. All right, we got one more.
We got Adrian.
Adrian, how are we doing, Adrian?
Hey, good morning, Zeiss. You're the only one with any sense on this whole show, on this whole station, by the way.
Well, thank you.
The rest of the five guys know absolutely nothing. Let's go back to the beginning. Please give me the time to explain this. The Steelers did nothing wrong in this process of getting Ayuk. Why is somebody always got to be to blame? Why can't we all just think positively? Okay, Deontay Johnson had to go. That he did all those stupid things that last caller said, but he's wrong about San Francisco would have absolutely taken him in a trade. But we got Jackson from Carolina. He's a baller. Okay, that trade was a great trade, because Jackson's going to do very well as the number two corner here in Pittsburgh. That defense is nice now with him and Patrick Queen solidifying the defense. I think the whole defense, I think they're going to be very hard to score on this year defensively. Now, offensively, okay, they signed Van Jefferson, who was better than what anybody on this station thinks. That was their insurance policy. Van Jefferson is a good ball player. He gets open deep. He can play. He was a very good piece to the puzzle to the Rams Super Bowl. Okay? George Pickens is way better than what anybody on this station thinks. That dude is a top five talent in the NFL, and in my opinion, top eight wide receiver in this league. So now you sign Jefferson to make sure you have a veteran guy next to him, okay? They had a deal in place during the draft for Ayuk. Their only mistake was they didn't want to give up Freiermuth. I would have gave up Freiermuth in a heartbeat, because he's done absolutely nothing since he's been here, since his rookie year. Okay? So now, the only thing, Steelers did everything they could to get him. San Francisco retracted it. They wanted to keep him. The Steelers had a deal done. So stop blaming Omar Khan, because the deal was done. San Francisco did what they could to keep the guy. It just happened. That's how it happened.
All right, I appreciate the call, but that's not true. There was never a deal involving Freiermuth. They were never going to deal one of their players. They made that clear from the start. They were going to give up draft picks. They were never going to. They wanted Freiermuth. They wanted Alex Highsmith. There was like three or four guys they were interested in trying to get, and the Steelers said no. And you're missing the point completely. Van Jefferson is not. he's a 6-year veteran. Basically been a journeyman. Nobody on this station, I don't know anybody on this station that doesn't think George Pickens is really good. He's obviously really good. Omar Khan dropped the ball from the standpoint of there needed to be a plan. When you trade away your second best receiver, you need to have a plan to replace him, and they didn't do it. Period. Didn't do it. So, you know, that's the fact. That's where I draw the line.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.